We're going to go forward today in, correct? Okay, there you go. Here's what I'm saying. If you're new here, I'm unorthodox. I'm not very pastoral at all. Educated, yes. Studied my word, yes. Hebrew and Greek, yeah. But traditional, no, nothing traditional about me. Things might come out my mouth that may shock you and amaze you. But it will be the truth, and it will be according to the word. So, we've been covering and are going to continue to cover the bigger picture. I won't go over all of last week's message. What up, bro? I won't go over last week's message. It's online. It's free. You can get it. But I will allude to some of it to get us going. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's a scripture that I stood on for so many years with no understanding of what I was standing on. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. So I entered into a place that a lot of us probably got in and got out, and some of us are probably still there. I begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want you to take this in full. I begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God, or so I thought. Because I wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God, I was stuck on and all these things will be added. So I was seeking the kingdom of God for all those things to be added. So I really wasn't seeking first the kingdom of God. I was seeking the kingdom of God so all the things would be added, so the things were still first. My motivation was not a closer walk with God or enlightenment to who is truth and what he was. It was, there's benefits to doing this, and I made the benefits the motivation. Yeah, I figured I'd start you off a little bit. So I had to go back and say, okay, I need to, maybe about 10 years of doing it wrong. I said, let me go back and reassess this. Seek the kingdom first so I can get these things, but I'm not supposed to be really focused on the things. I'm supposed to be focused on the kingdom, but I need some things. And it's kind of hard to focus on the kingdom when I need some things. So how do I set this priority right? So I went through this emotional gym and mental gymnastics of trying to figure out how to really put God first when my needs weighed heavier. It's real hard to focus on the kingdom that you can't see when your landlord and the bill collectors are calling your phone and you can definitely see, hear, and touch them. My bill collectors had never asked me to touch the hem of their garment, but it was real enough I could feel it through the phone. So I began this. I want to call it this religious playing with the idea of seeking the kingdom. And my thought of seeking the kingdom was, tell me if I'm right, just nod ahead at me or something if you understand what I'm saying. Seeking the kingdom meant for me behaving good. Yeah, right? I got some agreement? Doing the right things. Don't cuss no more. Don't get mad at people and cuss them out. You know, don't give people the finger if they cut you off on the highway no more. A lot of the good Christians already stopped clubbing and stuff. So we hold that up, God. But see, I used to be out there. I don't do that no more. You know, we start just trying to stack God, our scale with God of the things that we can kind of attribute to us seeking the kingdom. Yes? Wave your hand at me if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I'm not alone. So after a little while of that, God said to me, let me ask you a question. everything that you're trying to do correct and everything that you are doing correct and everything that you're making adjustments in are all earthly things. How is that kingdom seeking? You don't drink no more, fine. That's earthly. You don't chase women anymore. Good for you. That's earthly. That's for your benefit. How is that kingdom building the works that you're accomplishing in your flesh? So I thought I was on a merit system, like most believers do. And I was trying to do works to prove to God that I meant business. But I was no closer to the kingdom than I was before it all started. I was just a little better behaved. See, I've seen people promoted in the church because of their behavior and their discipline, not their anointing. She don't do this. She's good. She's a good tither. She's here every Sunday, every time the door's open, all week, every day. Okay, but what does that say about their relationship with God? They behave well, and that's a beautiful thing. Nobody's taken away from any of that. But I know people that behave well in church and are miserable, empty, lost, still don't understand why God has or has not. But they're afraid to get on the worse side of God than they believe they are now, so they continue to behave. And two, they fall, and eventually you will. And here we go again. So God, what is this kingdom that we are to seek? And where do I find it? If it's real, then where is it? Is it natural? Is it tangible? Is there a grade system? How do you determine that I'm properly seeking the kingdom of God? Who wants me to answer that question the best I can? Okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm preaching to the right people. Because if not, I'll change the message to something else. No, I won't. But so I begin this journey to try to get deep spiritually with my concordance and everything to look up the meaning of kingdom of God. And with all my looking up of the words, only one scripture jumped out at me. The Lord's Prayer. It's like that one hit me, and it hit me hard because, listen close, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, I know you read all your faith books and how you're supposed to pray and claim and rebuke and bind devils and all that. Right? No, I'm not mad at all that. All that stuff is good. I use some of that. But Jesus gave an instruction. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Well, if Jesus is the Messiah and he said pray like this, why have we written that off to be so small? My Father, who dwells in heaven, hallowed or holy or revered is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Church says on earth, book says in earth. Some of you are probably shocked. I didn't know that. I heard that on TV all the time. No, the word says in earth. The same thing, Pastor. Really? On something and in something is the same thing? And what language is on and in the same? On sits on, in is inside of. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, clearly, his will is not being done on earth. Some of you all say, yep, I'm an offender myself, so I know you're telling the truth. So how is this kingdom done in earth? And God reached down and scooped up the dirt of the earth and clothed that thing with his mane and breathed the breath of life, and that man became a living soul in earth. In earth. And the works that I do, you shall do also in greater works. In. Somebody put your hand on yourself and say, in earth. Say, in me. As it is in heaven. So. Now I'm getting a different understanding. It's not my outward behavior. It's when my inward heart change that reflects on the outside. It's the Christ in me that radiates out of me, that my behavior is motivated by, not me trying to get things. Well, what about things? Well, he said, if that's changed, all these things are added. How so? If the kingdom of God has come inside of you and you speak to the mountain, not in desperation, but living out of the kingdom of God in you, do you expect that to make the difference? When you've prayed in fear, I didn't plan to stay here this long, but when you prayed in fear about situations and panic and worry, and it looked like nothing was happening for you, and I know, how many believers in the house? Where the believers? Where's my believers at? Okay, did you ever get to that place as a believer where you just got so frustrated and so bewildered and so whatever, and you said, you know what, I just give up. God, either you make it happen or you don't, but I'm just not doing this anymore. Did it work then? Why is it that once we figure out that God is not pulled around by our emotions, but our trust and us relinquishing? I remember I was homeless and I went through this thing and I cried and I told God how much I tithed and I told God what a good Christian I was trying to be and I told God all the stuff I didn't do anymore and still was homeless. And I remember saying to God, I quit, I give up. I'm not saying nothing anymore. I'm not praying nothing anymore. I'm just going to be quiet. If you got something to say to me, you say it. God is my witness. I never heard God's voice so clear in my life. Say, it's about time you shut up. Now I can say something to you. It's about time you shut up and listen. So I came to reality. Shut up sooner. Listen quicker, because going to God, trying to update him on your current events, he knew, and he knew before you got there, and he saw you on your way there. And if anybody knows how to get you out, he does. So the relationship with God is about us growing and walking with God, so we can be better Christians. And I do that in quotations for a reason, because we're really seeds of Christ, not Christians. I know, I'm doing it to you. We're seeds of Christ, we're not Christians. We're sons of God, daughters of God. We're not Christians. That's a statement or a phrase that the Romans made up. Gripper called them those Christians. And him in saying that phrase, I don't know if you're ready for this. That was the equivalent of that other race calling us that N-word. It was not meant to be a compliment. He was referring to us as religionless people. See, the Jews had their relation, and they had their relationship with all the different gods and the Zeus's and the Apollos and all the millions of gods. And here these jerks running around following that Christ guy. So we'll just call them Christians. Now, Christians are amazing to me as people. I tell people all the time, I'm not really crazy about hanging around Christians. Christians a lot of times get on my nerves. Am I the only one? No. Christians get on my nerve. For the most part, I don't like Christians. No, because they get it. It's so funny, especially if I'm somewhere and they act in a certain way, and then somewhere through the course of the day, somebody finds out I'm a pastor. And now everybody wants to come up with me and talk deep. Oh, you know, praise the Lord, you know, pastor. I said, you was not talking like that a minute ago. I was watching you across the room quietly. You, now all of a sudden, you went deep and you went to me to breath. You know when the Lord spoke to me? Or you share something with me. You know, I know that already. You know, the Lord just told me that, right? You know what? The Lord told me that as I was driving here. Take me to a heathen party, please. At least it's real. At least you know what you're getting. They ain't going to say, yeah, you know, I know that. They're going to say, wow, that, I didn't know that, but that was deep. At least they're going to, you know what I'm saying? Just take me somewhere else. I lost my thought. I know that is rare. What was I talking about before I got off on Christians and how they, I lost? Seeds, thank you, baby. The seeds of Christ. We were put here to represent his power, not his title. Christians confuse me. Because Christians could be so many ends. You know what I mean? I'm a Christian. I'm a Sagittarian. I'm a vegan. I'm a vegetarian. You're so many ends. Okay, so you're a vegan? I thought vegan was a diet. You are actually that? So you're the diet, and the diet and you are one. The most confused people you ever want to meet. Because they're trying to be in. And because they're not in Christ spiritually, they need to be in him, in church, Christian. Christians without. You are supposed to be the representation of his dunamis, the seed, the birth, the leftover seed after Christ left and sent his anointing, that your and my and our bigger picture is people know we are in him without us being an in. I'm a Christian. How many unbelievers that you know value your in? I'm not talking about your Christian church friends that you go to church and say hallelujah with and you speak Christianese together. Oh, glory be to God. How you doing? I'm blessed, sister. Blessed coming in and blessed going to hallelujah, praise the Lord. So where you going? I will be God's will. I'm going to give me some shoes to you. Ah, hallelujah. It's just foolishness. And the world looks at us and we are foolish to them. So they make jokes about us. Because watch what I'm about to say. If your Christianity doesn't have a powerful effect on the non-believer, you're just an in. My unbelieving friends will call me to pray for their unbelieving family. Because they will say to me, I don't believe in church, and I'm not a Christian, I don't believe in all of that. But I know your God is with you, whatever you believe, we'll just call him the creator. They'll come up whatever they want to make them feel happy at the moment. So I'll tell you a story. I didn't plan to do all of this today, but this was God's plan, so I'm just going to go with that if you don't mind. Is that okay? Is everybody okay with where I'm at? I got a phone call from my mom, and something that happened the other day, this week, brought it back to me. This was way back, this was years ago. My mother called me up, which she would do. Mother was not a believer, not a Christian, and she made it clear she was never going to be one. because of experiences she had in church. She don't have nothing to do with church or church folk. But my family nickname, and if you'll try to tease me with it outside, I might punch you in the mouth. No, I won't. I'm fine with it. It's Boo Boo. Family calls me Boo Boo. And my big sister's right here, my little brother sitting back there right there. I'm Boo Boo to my family. And my mom would say, Boo Boo's got the gift. So if somebody's kids or somebody in the family was sick, mom said, call Boo Boo. Go get Boo Boo. My mom did stuff like that with me when I was younger. I didn't understand it. She would have me be involved with stuff that I didn't even know was prayer at the time because for some reason she recognized that there was something there. When I finally got saved, I still didn't get it. And one of my sisters, who was not Nation of Islam Muslim, she was Sunni Muslim, wound up with breast cancer. And my mom said, call Boo Boo. So she called me. I got on the phone and I prayed in the name of Jesus. I didn't think nothing about it. I didn't really even give much value to the gift. I'm still starting to realize this is why I'm going to message the bigger picture at this season. And she went back to the doctor the next week. She was healed. Stop. I've been in church. I went to Jesus to be healed in my life. You a Christian. Do you notice that when Jesus had the sick brought to him, he didn't say, are you already saved? Are you at least Jewish? He showed the kingdom of God by dispensing the power of God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just do it. If I don't go back to it, just remind me to go back to John the Baptist. I'll go back to it, I promise. So I get on the phone and I pray for her. She gets healed. Not a Christian. Not a believer. She gets healed. I laid it on Christians and they died. But a non-believer got healed. I had seen that more than once, so I wasn't surprised. It may have been a couple of years later, she wound up with it again. Well, she didn't wait for mom this time. She did what? And I asked a question. I said, I'm going to pray. You'll be healed. But I'm going to ask you a question. If you got to leave Allah and come to Jesus to get healed, you might want to think about it. So I ain't against her faith. I used to be a Muslim. I had no problem with that. I'm like, but I'm just saying. She said, no, you know, that's a different thing. It's two different things. You know, Allah doesn't function in that flow. Come to Jesus for that. Got that. Okay, I'm just saying, if he ain't working for you, think about it. I hung up the phone. Months later, she got saved. She said those words kept haunting me. As I would put on my garb and get ready to go do my thing, I'm saying, why am I making this point? We're not called to run around laying hands on each other. We do it, but it's a shame that we have to. Say this, I am already healed. You're not the sick trying to get well. You are the well that the devil's trying to convince is sick. We won't do no jumping around and shouting a lot, but you're going to learn something. You're going to learn today. I just let you know I watched some videos and stuff. So, Kevin Hart, she going like, what? Now, the dynamic of who you are is power. The dynamic of why you're called is representation of the power. You are walking explosions. You are walking dunamis. The spirit that raised Christ from the dead has quickened your mortal body. You are walking, living expressions of not Jesus when he walked the earth, but Jesus when he was raised from the dead. God, I guess I got to put it down a minute. Dunamis. Somebody say dunamis. That's a Greek word for power. But it's not just power like enough to lift the weights. The word power is in its sense explosive. The word dunamis would say, and God said, light be, and it was. Instantaneous power. Moment changing, history changing, life changing power. Somebody say, I have that. Now, as believers, we become church folk that go to church looking for a fix, no different than a crack addict goes to the crack house to get a hit. You understanding me? We're being robbed. I've seen a shameful thing in the earth, the scripture says. Princes walking like slaves and slaves riding horses like princes. We're looking at them and desiring to be where they are when it should be the other way around. We want to make our music a little more like theirs so that they will accept it. See, it gets quiet here. This is some kind of message where the room get quiet. We want to be more like them so that they can accept our Christ. Instead of making the difference that they say, I can't get that anywhere else but from you. You have the gift. You have the anointing. The same anointing that raised Christ from the dead has quickened your mortal body. So you are not in the phase of Jesus when Jesus walked the earth. You're not in the phase of Jesus when Jesus died on the cross. You are in the phase of Jesus after Jesus was raised up and sat up and set together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You sit on the right hand of the Father. Pastor, you didn't just say that. Yes, I did, because the Bible did. Ephesians chapter 1. And he rose us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where does Christ Jesus sit? And so where does it say we sit? With him. Do you understand what the right hand represents? You know the phrase, that's my right hand man? That's a person of choice. That's a person of preference. That's a person you trust. That's a person that you roll with, you die with. But we've been granted the right hand. And we're walking around acting like we're the left foot. Which, even if we act like that, we'd be better off than what we are. The bigger picture is this. Sure, you need to pray to get your bills paid. Fine. Close to 20 years, I don't remember praying to get a bill paid. It's not a brag. That's an encouragement. I have not prayed to get a bill paid in 20 years, nor have I worked for anybody. I just expect it to be so because my daddy provides. Now, you might say, yeah, but you got tons of money just rolling around in the bank, just flipping over and interest every day. You gain another $100,000. Not the case. From your mouth to God's ears, I received that. Okay. But I saw Jesus say, fill the buckets with water. And it turned into the best wine in the place. I saw Jesus take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed over 20,000 people. Now, the Bible says 5,000, but it does not. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. I'm being nice to say 20,000 because back then they didn't have 2 kids. So I'm just taking each man, giving them a wife and 2 kids, 20. Back then they had 15, 20 kids. So 20,000 is a moderate number. Are you feeling me? I saw these things. And I begin to ask God about the kingdom based on these biblical truths, not based on my behavior, how good I thought I was doing or not doing, not on how much I knew or thought I could quote or not. I begin to ask God to reveal his kingdom to me based on these biblical principles. You did heal the sick. You did cast out demons. You did have ravens feed a man. You did have people have meal and oil in the barrel, and they just kept giving and giving and giving, and it never ran out. He didn't fill the barrel up. He just kept it providing. And if you are the same God today, yesterday, and forever, then I need some of them yesterday blessings today. And the question became, and what's the bigger picture? To pay your bills? Because if you're just paying your bills, then that's all you get enough for. But if you have a kingdom purpose and calling, then I'll surplus you. See, the people who make Poland Spring, they don't just fill up a week's worth of water and enough to take home to their wife and kids and sit it on this, in the factory so that they won't be thirsty. They provide the world with water, and as a result, they never lack water. If you become God's warehouse, you won't lack anything. I'm God's warehouse. There's never a need that confronts me because I'm always seeking to be used to provide a need to somebody. You're a warehouse. You're a storehouse. Things in the spirit. If you dispense in healing, are you sick? Well, I pray for people all the time. I didn't ask you if you're praying for people. I'm going to talk about church people one more time. You ever get a group of church people together to pray for somebody? By the time it gets around the circle, everybody done pray for their kids and everybody else and brought everything else into the prayer. It's like, there ain't no agreement in this circle. Lord, I pray for the animals. You also pray for the children in Ethiopia. You praying for this person. Aren't we all supposed to be gathered together in agreement? 2 of you in agreement? Christ is in the midst. You can't get 5 people in one area and everybody trying to pray and trying to pressure out of prayer. Oh, Lord, in the glory. And they try to quote a bunch of scripture. Okay, so now you want to put on a show. This is your 5 minutes of fame in the circle of five. Go for it. But where's the anointing? Where's the presence of God? Because if that's real, you don't have to do all that yelling and screaming and preaching. I'm going to tell you something. When God sent me to Africa, I had the deepest experience of my life. And I remember the first time I had to cast out an African demon. And I'm going to tell you something. African demons are not like American demons. It's a different story right there. They fight in your back and picking people up and throwing them across the room and seeing stuff like you see on TV and running across the top of chairs and they not falling over. You start seeing some stuff. You go, this is some real stuff. And they told me when I got there, don't go out there because they'll kill you. And I was like, I'm from the hood. If God didn't let anybody take me out when I was in the hood doing stuff that I should have been killed, I know doggone well ain't no demon in Africa that bad. And if he is, then I need to die in Africa and the world need to get back to America that God don't protect his in Africa. See, now when you take that kind of stand, God going to meet you. What's the bigger picture? What are you willing to die for? I'm just believing God to make a way. Make a way out of what? Where there is no way. Come on, would you stop with the dumb cliches? Like, what is it that you really... really, can we really talk to God about what we really believe for? Because you start to find out when you really start to talk to God what you really believe for, you start to find out you don't really believe for much or nothing. And that's exactly what you're getting. Not much or nothing. A raise on my job. And that blesses the people around you how? That encourages somebody's faith to find your Lord how? That offers the works that I do, you should do also to other people how? I'm not trying to beat people up. And I know some of you are here for the first time, you're like, oh, the pastor kind of going hard on us. The rest of them is used to it. So just, this is what it is. I'm just so tired of playing church. We are power people. Called to do power things. And we're trying to pay bills. But if you sought the kingdom of God, bills don't get in front of you. I want you to think about something. I'm gonna go a little bit off record for a minute here. But I just want to throw. No, I said I was going to go back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is standing there baptizing. You know the story, right? Your church people know the good John the Baptist story, right? Jesus walks up. He sees Jesus coming. Behold the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the earth. It's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement. He said, that's my cousin. That was his cousin, you know. He said, the prophet is not without honor except in his own house. John honored him. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Powerful statement in front of his congregation. Let's just sit with that a minute. Marinate on that. All them people out there to be baptized by John. That's the First Baptist Church going on right there. John got his service. Now Jesus walk in and he stops and acknowledges him as the more powerful one. That's a good way to lose members, ain't it? So he acknowledges John. I mean, he acknowledges Jesus. And Jesus walks up and says, baptize me. And immediately he says, I'm not worthy to do that. I'm not worthy to do that. Jesus said, you're right about that, cuz, but do it anyway. You with me? Because we're talking about the personality difference between what's religious and what is a spiritual relationship that's real. At that moment in John's life, he was functioning at what God called him to do, doing exactly what God called him to do. And he was doing it with power. People were coming in droves to receive what he was giving these people. And when he saw the Messiah, he forgot his cousin. He forgot everything but the anointing he was in, and he acknowledged the hand of God and the Savior of the earth. Am I correct? Then he baptizes Jesus. And this is in my scriptures for the day, but I'm just going this way, so just stay with me. If I get off the word, say, hey, stop that, and I'll stop. But I usually don't. He says, he saw the Spirit of the Lord descend on him like a dove. And then he heard the Lord's voice speak. You know, remember what the Lord's voice said? Come on, say it. No, that's not to hear you hear him. That's who I'm well pleased. Close enough. He did say he's a son. Right? Now, I'm pleased with him. I'm pleased with him. He didn't say, and I'm pleased with you too, John. I'm not saying that to infer he wasn't. I'm just saying all the attention now is off of John and on to Jesus, the visitor. And John had to be good with that because John had a bigger picture. It's not about me and my locusts and honey. It's not about my following. It's about getting people to the voice and the provision of God. Aiming them away from me and aiming them to who God is. Stay with me. The story don't end there. Acknowledge it. He hears the voice. Now, here's the thing that blew me away with that scripture. And some thought it thundered. A bunch of baptized people all in the place together having a holy good time. And God speaks, and some people couldn't hear it. Thought it thundered. Probably times God tried to speak to some of y'all and y'all thought it was thunder. Because it didn't say nothing about rent. Didn't say nothing about these bills I'm facing. Didn't say nothing about this pain I'm feeling right now. So I didn't hear it. I just heard noise. Thunder. I thought a chair fell over. I don't know what I thought it was. See, if you were here last week, we ended it on saying he came to the realization when he saw them going, the angels going up and down Jacob's ladder, this is the place of God and I didn't even know it. I'm in the presence and place of God and I wasn't even aware of it. And most believers go through most of their life being in the presence and power of God, right where God wants them to be, with the opportunity to do exactly what God has called them to do, and don't even know they're there. So here's a bunch of people standing around who are all getting baptized, see the Messiah, the reason for their baptism, show up, get baptized, hear God speak, and don't even know God spoke. Gets deeper. John got into some trouble with the law after that. Must have been a brother. He got picked up. John in jail. They're getting to cut John's head off. John calls his disciples. So that means a few of them stay with him. They didn't go with Jesus. Stay with John. Just something to think about. Just throwing that out there. That's not the message. That's not the point. And John calls his disciples to them, and he gives them an instruction. He gives them a question to go back and ask Jesus. How many of you remember the question? Say it out loud. Say it again. Are you the one, or should we seek another? Hold up. Wasn't you the dude? Church? Didn't you hear his voice? Don't you remember all them other times that you like to share in your testimonies when things are going good for you? The wonderfulness of God? And now, right now, situations are at hand, and all that he saw and all that he witnessed and heard, he's questioning it. This ain't me saying Jesus gave me a new tire for my car. You spoke the words came out of your mouth. So that means it weren't his words, they were God's words. See, sometimes God will speak his words through you, but you're still not married to those words yet. So God used those words to rescue you, but you still are not convinced that those words are real, and that's why they don't work for you the second time you pray them. Can we have this conversation today? I'm trying to help you. Not getting on you. I'm just showing you how you can make some spot checks. You're learning something. But what I love is Jesus' response. Jesus is there doing what Jesus do. He turns to the disciples and says, which lets me know that he didn't respond to them right away. This is my movie. This is the way I see it. Jesus probably just ignored him because Jesus would do that. You know, you ask Jesus dumb questions, you know, he'll ignore you. Somebody in this room know that happened to me. You ask Jesus, what should I do? And you already know what the words say about it, and Jesus just ignore you. You never pray for something, God just ignore you? The phone just go dead? Or God say, you know, I want you to go here, I want you to call that person, I want you to apologize. And well, God, but wait a minute, but they, hello? Right? You trying to get that next word? Well, what if they don't receive me? Hello? Well, God, how am I going to get there if I have no money? Hello? Right? Because God's like, I'm not trying to get you to negotiate the flow. I need you to just receive the truth. If I told you to go, I'm responsible for the going. I'm explaining to you why I haven't prayed to pay a bill in 20 years. I'm telling you why. Because if he authorizes it, he supports it. John asked his disciples to go, why didn't you send the baby upstairs? They lay hands upstairs. They do. They pray. That's the perfect place for them to be. Thank you, precious. See, I'll stop right in the middle of the message. Okay. Listen, I want to make sure you get this. Somebody say, I need to get this. Jesus' response after, this is why I say I know there was a delay. There was a time before the answer. Because he turned to John's disciples and he said, go back and tell John not only what you heard, but what you seen, which means they had to see something. Jesus kept on healing and doing what he does. Poof, poof, bang, pow. And go back and tell them, I'm not going to answer you, am I the one or not? If you can't believe me for the works that I do, for the words that I say, believe me for the works that you see me do. Stop. Jesus said, if my words aren't sufficient, my works are. Here's why the church stinks. Because we got words and no works. Because if you could walk up to a heathen and you could put your hand on them and they feel the presence of God and their body gets healed, you don't have to convince them that Jesus is Lord. The works did. Amen. Church just talk. Preach good messages and shout and jump and fall around and roll all over the floor and spit up and throw up and all kind of stupid stuff. And where's the works? Because people are ministered to by the works. If Jesus said, I got something that's better than my words, that's what Jesus said. If you can't believe my words, judge my works. Can somebody admit we've been lazy? Just a few people? You don't have to admit it. Your heart bear witness. Now, I know I'm stepping on some toes, but I just told you Jesus is a healer. He'll heal the toes. But the point is, the bigger picture is we are the living examples of the dunamis. And if we've been relegated to just going to church and having a relationship with other church people, we have missed the mark of the calling. You want your prayers answered? Start being the answer to prayer to everybody else's need that's like yours and then some. I promise you right now that whatever need is facing you today, this is not where I plan to go, but this is where God wanted me, so this is where I am. Is this a right on time message? Raise your hand if you needed this today. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's somebody around you right now that's in a situation worse than yours that God has put right there for you to minister to them in the need that you have presently. Can you bear witness with that, hearing me say it? Because the Bible said he provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater. I'll give you another quick lesson. That's one of those scriptures when I started seeking God about the kingdom of God, that things started coming to light for me. I was with nothing. And those of you who don't have my book, please ask me for a copy of it before you leave. I'll give you a free one. Here's my point. When I saw that scripture, he provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater, something hit me really hard. So God, there's times that I seek you. And your word said, as long as there's heaven and earth, seed, time, and harvest shall not fail. Somebody say, as long as there's heaven and earth, seed, time, and harvest will not fail. If I'm seeking God about a need, where's my seed? You can't just go out in your yard and speak to the ground and say, tomatoes be. You got to plant tomato seed. And then you take care. And if I told you that, you'd go, duh. But when you go to God about things that you haven't seeded for, God says the same thing. Duh. No, there's a reason I'm not answering the question. Not because it ain't my time. You ain't sold for it. I ain't just talking about money. I know people think, I'm saying, oh, he getting ready to do the offering. No, I'm saying, I'm good. You have to put nothing in the offering. I'm still good. That's not what this is about. Seed in every area of your life. Your harvest is dependent on a seed. You want to be respected and appreciated? Where are you sowing that? You want to be loved and cared for? Where are you sowing that? You want to be healed? Where are you sowing that? And God showed me that scripture. He provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And I went, something makes sense to me today. Because I remember needing $5,000. And I prayed. And the next day, somebody called me and said, God told me to give you $500. I said, hallelujah, the blessings are starting to come in. Whew. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah. And I went and paid whatever little bit of bills I can just to back the wolves off for a minute. Not much when you owe $5,000. And next thing I know, I'm a month or so, I'm back. I'm worse than I was. And I cry to God again. And this time I get $700. Oh, hallelujah. And finally I said, God, what's up with the trickles? He said, that seed, you eating it. You're supposed to sow that. You asked me for $5,000. I gave you a seed on it. I gave you $500. You ate it. And nobody here recognizes that? Does that sound familiar to anybody in scenario? You eating your seed. Instead of saying, God, heal me. God, touch me. God, do this for me. God, make a way for me. God, where can I be the representation of that power to somebody else where I can sow the seed to receive from you what I'm believing for myself? Because it's the Jesus, if the anointing of power for healing is flowing through you and you going around dispensing it to each other, it's got to go through you. You don't think it's going to clean out the house that it's in before it goes out to the others? Is this helping you? Our power has been dormant. We're a sleeping giant, laying around waiting for a miracle. And we are the miracle. We are the power. We are the representation. Look at somebody and say, you have power. Does this speak to your spirit? You have power. The bigger picture, I'll pick up all my verses next week, but the bigger picture is this. God put me here to flow through me. And in flowing through me, all my needs are met. I seek the kingdom. And through seeking the kingdom, the kingdom in earth, in me, flows out of me. And as a result, I'm a living result of that kingdom. There's levels of poverty and lack that my kids don't know or understand. Because I was raised in it, but when I got into God's kingdom, they saw My son is like, I don't work for nobody. He's 27. He's already like, yeah, no, I've got this. I'm going to be doing this for myself. And I'm going to have my own this. And I'm going to have these people work for me. And already that's how his mind thinks. I didn't sit down and say, no, don't you ever work for nobody. That's what he saw. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? That's what I'm seeing in God. That's what I'm seeing in you. We got to just stop being church folk. Your biggest blessing is in this. Ready? God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. His word says that. I'm asking God for this. He's given you all things. What is it that you're asking for that he hasn't already provided? It exists. It's there. Somebody say, it's already mine. I need to use it right. It's there. I'm living it. I'm proof of it. I've sought God and things, and God's been stopping me about a lot of things that he has me doing today and asking me, but you don't know why you're doing it. I didn't put you here so you can make more money. You will, and you have, but that's not why I put you here. I know actually when I get blessed, I can show people how God blessed me and got me a new car. Yeah, well, nobody don't care about your new Toyota if they driving a Maserati. Anybody impressed? So what? How many people got blessed and fell out and gave their life to Jesus because you got a raise? Or a new apartment? Are you listening to me? There's a power that we represent. Church, wake up. We're a sleeping giant. We're a sleeping giant. People expect me to have. And I appreciate them expecting that. Add your faith to mine. But I expect you to have. I'm not talking about stuff only. Again, counsel, wisdom, prayer, prophetic anointing. They expect that. People, listen, you'll come to me, you'll say, Pastor, or Pop, or whatever you'll call me, you know there's something here, something on my mind, I just want to get your thought on it. You're not expecting me to sit there and go, I don't know. You're looking at me like, okay, I told you my situation. You better have something. Am I wrong? You're expecting me to say something, whether you'll choose to agree with it or not, you expect counsel. The world should see you that way. Everybody on your job should see you that way. When I go to them, they ain't gonna quote Christianese to me. Perfect timing. Stand with me. I was gonna tell you another story, but I'm only got a minute. Next time. Say this. God's will is done in me just like in heaven. Father God, right now, and I pray for each and every person in this room. And I pray that your anointing sits on each and every one of them. And yes, you don't take light that they have needs. Your word says you care about the things that concern us. But Father God, we are growing to learn that the things that concern us not to need to be these little minute earthly things, but the things that you've called us to do on this earth, there's a bigger picture. And Father God, we're receiving it today. Each and every one of us are set in our heart and our mind and our eyes to find out what exactly you put us on this earth to do. And we know it's bigger than what we're doing. And we're grateful for what we're doing. And we appreciate what you've allowed us to do. But now we've made the decision to step into that bigger arena, Father God. You told Abraham to come out of his tent and see if he can number the stars in the sky, for so shall his seed be. And he had a focused from that point on what his destiny was, not just for him to have a baby, but that there were nations that would come as a result of his obedience. And so, Father God, we know that there's a kingdom, there's a nation, there's a people somewhere that we are put here to leave a legacy for. So we decide today as your people, right here and right now, to receive, Father God, that calling on our lives. We are not just church folk. We are powerful people, dunamis people, walking out your glory in this day and in this time. And we thank you, Father God, that each and every one of us today are encouraged, not ashamed, not embarrassed, but encouraged, just enlightened, strengthened, and know where we're going from this moment. We trust you today, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's a promise. It will not. We promise that. Your word promises that you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We accept that today. We lack nothing. All wisdom, all counsel, all direction. We your sheep. We know your voice. The voice of the stranger we don't follow. The voice of our flesh we don't follow. We hear your voice. We discern your voice clearly. And we thank you, Lord God, that even as we're standing here right now, things are beginning to make sense. Things I couldn't figure out this week is starting to make sense to me. People are starting to get the aha moment even right now as your word is going forward. And I'm saying today, people will never be the same. We trust you and we thank you and we believe you in Jesus' name. Now just stay there and talk to God a minute. Just talk to him a bit. Talk to him about where you are. Make it personal, right?